The sermon this evening comes from Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 6 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another. In the fear of Christ, pray with me. Our great and powerful God, thank you for your word. Help us now to approach your word with the right posture. Help us to come now with reverence and caution. Help us to come now. Make us attentive to what you have said so that we will be careful in the ways that we walk, and we will know the ways to walk in accordance with what you have said, that we would walk in the ways of love, love towards you, and love towards one another, so that you will be most glorified in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a very close friend who served in Iraq, and in Iraq he hurt his back, and then they put him on medication, and then from the medication he ended up in the States, and he ended up addicted to this medication. And it got to the point where that medication didn't satisfy him, and he had to seek for other things, and he found more drugs, and he found stronger drugs, and he ended up in a lifestyle of 4 years addicted to narcotics, and he went as far as heroin. And one day, after he had been clean, we were talking, and he looked at me, and he said, Micah, you have no idea what it's like to be trapped like that. All you can think about is finding your next fix. He said, even in the midst of taking heroin, I would be thinking of how I could get more heroin. But in some ways, when we're honest with ourselves, all of us know that experience to some degree. All of us who have chased after any sin know that experience. You see, we're all addicted to satisfying ourselves apart from Christ. Whether it's food, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, we know what it's like. We know what it's like to long for something. Even now, as you sit in the pew, some of you may have already been thinking about your longings. Your relationships, your foods, your lusts, longing, longing. And you know that even in the midst of it, you think of the next thing. At our own dinner table, we've been at a lunch, and a child has asked, Mother, what's for dinner? Just wanting something else to satisfy, wanting what's next. Well, we see from the scripture here that there is a certain longing, and there's supposed to be this underlying factor of our lives. As a drug addict longs for his next drug, we're to be Christ addicts, longing to know Christ and longing to walk in His ways, to be children of light. It could easily be said that my friend walked in drugs. But you are called upon to walk in light, to walk as children of light. What a beautiful life it is and would be to be even in the midst of the assembly, rejoicing in the assembly and thinking of the sweetness of the next time that you will be in the assembly. Thinking of the sweetness of the next time that you will be in the Word. So as we examine these passages in Ephesians, we have gone through this section. An earlier section was the Christian walk, and the beginning of chapter 5 talked about being imitators of God, and this is all a part of that. Walking in the light is a part of that. Now, as we look at what it means to walk as children of light, the first step, and we'll look at verse 6 and then jump back to verse 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now we'll jump back to verse 5. What were we talking about? What are these things that bring the wrath of God? Verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral person, that immoral is porneia, no sexually immoral person, no immoral person or impure person, that's someone who is idolatrated, I'm losing the word, when you have something that would be pure, something else adulterated is thrown into it. C.J. Williams accused me of this one time as I was standing with my coffee and I had a peppermint candy and I threw it in my coffee and he rebuked me for ruining my coffee, for making it impure all of a sudden. But an impure person will not inherit the kingdom of God, or a covetous man. How often is that the case with us? How often do we covet? How often do we see what someone else has and want it and long for it, unsatisfied with what we have, whether it be a car, whether it be a relationship, whether it be a marriage, whether it be someone else's intelligence, whether it be someone else's grades? We do long for it and wish for it. One who is an idolater, none of these inherit the kingdom of God in Christ. Now we see there in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. This idea of being deceived by sin is very real. The scripture talks about Satan blinding the eyes of people. And this is the reality every time you sin and you are okay with it. I'd have you think back, recently even, when have you sinned and you were okay with it? Whether it's gluttony, covetousness, some form of immorality, and you were okay with it. It's clear from Scripture that Satan has blinded your eyes. If you can sin and be okay with it. Now, this is something that should be disturbing and terrifying when you think of the proximity of the prince of darkness or his demons being close enough to you to lay their twisted, warped hands over your eyes and allow you to be satisfied in your sin and unconvicted by it. Let no one deceive you into accepting sin. See, sins are crimes against God. You, who Christ has laid His life down for, how can you be content in committing crimes against Him? Now, I have seen parents admonish children, and particularly teenagers, in some realm, and the teenager blows it off, says, it's not that big of a deal, or everyone else is doing it. I have seen deacons in a church, not this one, when talking about a sin, and the deacon saying, only natural, as if that were some form of an excuse. Or saying, that's just my nature, as if that were some form of excuse or reason for continuing in the sin. You see, your character, your makeup, what anyone else is doing, or how small a sin seems, is no excuse for committing a crime against God. And it leaves us in the place of being liable against God. So let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Do not be deceived by Satan any longer. Now look with me at verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And then there was this reasoning back in verse 6. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, see, we're called upon not to be partakers with people who do these things, who commit these crimes. So there is some distance that's required of us, some isolation from them to some degree. Now, this does not call for complete isolation. 1 Corinthians 5:10 and 11 says, I did not at all mean with immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. So Paul is saying here, I'm not saying that you have to get out of the world and go live in a commune somewhere. I'm not saying that you have to build your own little place with walls and towers to keep yourself completely isolated from them. But then he explains it this way. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person. And that's a porneia again. A sexually immoral person. Or covetous. Or an idolater. Or a reveler. Or a drunkard. Or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. That's a tough stance to take, isn't it? Can you imagine people on the campus of Geneva saying, I'm sorry, it is clear that you are a sexually immoral person, and so I can't sit with you and eat with you here. It's clear that you are a covetous person, so I can't sit with you and eat with you here. But this is exactly the kind of stand that Scripture is calling upon. For people in our own lives, this would be the case with brothers, biological sisters. Some of us, this would be the case with parents. I'm sorry, you are an immoral person, and you call yourself a believer, so I cannot sit and eat with you. Do not be partakers with them. Now Deuteronomy 32:5, as it's talking to the church at this point, says they have acted corruptly towards him, that is towards God. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. You see, the danger is that as we live with people who are immoral, we give credence to their behavior, and we let them continue to think that they are saved when they are not. And God calls upon us to a place of judgment where we remove ourselves from so-called believers and do not associate with them. You see, but association with the world is necessary. In Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The bizarre thing is, we have more of a response, we have a responsibility and a calling to be in the midst of the people who are unsaved and call themselves unsaved for the purpose of calling them to Christ and calling them to repentance. So we do not partake of evil, but we are in the midst of it. We are to live in the midst of them, but live lives towards God and your fellow man in their midst without partaking of sin. A difficult, difficult life to walk. Now look with me at verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. This is the simple call here for you to walk as children of light. This idea of being formerly darkness, as we talked about how disturbing it is thinking something twisted and distorted this morning, thinking of demons in these terms as well, something twisted and distorted. Scripture talks about Satan and his angels. Now, this can be spiritual angels, but angel literally is a translation of the word means messenger. People on this earth can be messengers of Satan, even demons, as they proclaim a salvation apart from Christ, or as they proclaim an immorality and make it sound as if it is moral. That makes them a messenger. A messenger of Satan and not a messenger of Christ. And this was the reality for those of us who lived in the world and were of the world. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. John 8:44, Jesus brings this admonition against the people who were members of the church in that day. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, but you are a people who are called children of light. You are a people who are supposed to be the truth. Scripture and Timothy actually calls the church a pillar of the truth. That puts you in the position where you are called upon to proclaim truth, to proclaim reality, so that people hear it, so that people know what is real, so that people know what is true, so that you point them to Scripture, so that God will be glorified in their lives. So, are you walking this way? Are you walking as children of light? Are you proclaiming truth? Are you proclaiming reality? Are you making these divisions that is necessary? Because you must see that if you do not make these divisions, you are actually hating the people that you are supposed to be dividing from. Because you are allowing them to continue to walk in their sin, to walk in their immorality. And because of these things, the wrath of God can come against them and will come against them. And you are put in the position that you are to proclaim the truth for their good and for the glory of Christ. Now look with me at verses 8 through 10. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And in verse 17 it says, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I've been working with a young man recently. In our work, he has been trying to throw off a particular sin. And as he's been trying to throw off this particular sin, he stumbled here and he has stumbled there. But we see him beginning to walk in victory over this sin. And then the next time we met, I said, okay, what's next? He asked, what do you mean? I said, well, certainly you're not finished in your sanctification. Just because you've thrown off this big sin, it doesn't mean you're done. What's next? What do you need to deal with now? And you know, he knew. And we made a list. And we made a plan. And we came up with Scripture. And next time he came back and with reports on his battle, how things were going in this area now, as well as the old area. You're not done. You're not done. None of you are done. See, we're to be pursuing goodness and righteousness and truth. So for you, what's next? What's next? What is your next battle? If you don't know, ask the person closest to you what you need to work on and make a plan and grow in grace and grow in truth, so that you will not be foolish, but you will understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, a part of this battle and a part of the struggle is labeling sin. So you must label sin clearly. Look with me at verse 11. Do not partake in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. I used to trip over this verse and have a hard time understanding what it meant. When my initial reading, it just looked like you were supposed to be a tattletale to me. That you're just supposed to go around exposing everyone's sin and pointing out what everybody else is doing wrong. Well, this isn't exactly what God is trying to bring across. He's not calling us to be running around pointing the finger at everyone else and pointing out what they're doing. But it does mean that you are to expose sin as sin. To point to the things that are crimes and to deal with them. And we would do that in the way that is done in Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 15. If you're dealing with someone who is in a sin, you would go to that person and you would clearly label their behavior as sin. Because we've already looked that people will walk in darkness, that their eyes can be covered. And sin may not be called sin to them. It's something that just happens. It's something that's just natural. It's just something that's consistent with their personality. Instead of it being pointed out as an actual crime against God. Sin must be called sin. And any deviation from God's word is indeed that. Sin. A crime against God. So label sin clearly. And amazingly enough, this is what is loving. Anything else is hatred. To allow someone to walk in their crimes against God. So often in dealing with people will say, but Scripture says that you're not supposed to judge. Do not judge, is the Scripture that so quickly pointed out. And I've actually seen grown men back off at that point. Oh, you're right. We're not supposed to judge. No, the Scripture says, remove the plank from your own eye so that you can deal with the speck in your brother's eye. Scripture says, throw off your own sin and help everyone else deal with theirs too. What is the Christian life if it's not that? What is our fellowship if it's not that? If I'm walking around with a splinter in my eye and you are willing to ignore it because someone said, don't judge, you are hating me to allow me to walk around like that. And I would be hating you to allow you to walk around like that. Sin must be labeled clearly, and it must be clearly dealt with and decisively dealt with if we're to be children of light, to walk in love, and to walk in truth. Next, look with me at verses 16 and 17. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I'm calling upon you here to give your time to what pleases God. Give your time to what pleases God. How much of our life is based on aimless distraction? And truly, truly, to keep us from thinking about what's real. To keep us from thinking about the things that will call us to change. To call us to life. To call us to speak to others in their need and to care for others in their need. That is not the Christian life. Aimless distraction is not the Christian life. But giving yourself to the love of God, which is pursuing Him in His Word, which is memorizing Scripture, to give yourself to loving others and pointing them to Christ. This is loving God, and this is what is pleasing to Him. This is walking in what is true and right. It's striking, verse 16, it says, make the most of your time, because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. And unless you intentionally fight against the time, the evil times, you will simply fall into it. You'll be washed along by it like a calm, lazy river. But you're called upon to something more. You're called upon to something greater. A fight. Called upon to a war. To fight against evil times. To shine truth first in your own heart that you'll walk in truth. And to shine truth into other people's lives so that they'll walk in truth. You're called upon by God to walk as children of light. So commit yourself to this, for the days are evil. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for giving us your truth. Do be glorified in the ways that we love you. Be glorified in the ways that we love each other. Give us wisdom, God, to make the days count. So we'll do the things that truly matter. And we'll love in the ways that truly matter. So that you'll be glorified in the ways that we love you and the ways that we love each other. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.